Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for being here tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity I've been given to share a portion of a study I've done, and that study is going to be over the true age of the earth based on the Bible and based on information we get from Scripture. And this answer, you know, the answer, the true age of the earth that we'll answer here shortly, it conflicts a great deal with what we're commonly taught in the world today. And so I've had this study on my mind for some time, and I finally decided to put it together, and I'm glad that I did, because, you know, I felt this fitting too with school getting started, kids going back to school, that, you know, I went to, growing up going to public school, I kind of always had this, you know, path of history per public school and National Geographic and the History Channel, and then, you know, kind of this path of the Bible and the genealogies and the dates given there, and I never really reconciled the two until I did this study. So to begin with, before we get into that hard answer, I want to do a little background work, if you will, on our current calendar system. So in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve and created the world, there wasn't really necessarily a way of tracking the days or the seasons or the years. So man, over time, created their own calendars and created, you know, ways to keep track of that. So there was lots of other calendars used in history, you know, besides the one we use today, the ancient Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, and the Roman calendar was the calendar that was in place when Jesus was born. And, you know, doing a little bit of research on these, all these calendars, they changed a lot, and they would add and take out days, you know, year to year, trying to make the seasons match up with, you know, when they expected them to happen. And some went off the rotation of the moon, some the earth, and it was a lot of information that's really not super relevant to this study. But the fact was is the current dating system, the current year tracking system that we have, it wasn't in place at the time of Jesus' birth. But the one that was one that was the Roman calendar, and Julius Caesar, he reformed that calendar a little bit during his reign, and then the calendar that we commonly use today is the Gregorian calendar, which is a refinement of the Julian calendar. So I say all that to say this, again, that these calendars and months and days and years were essentially something that man put together to keep track of what was going on. And this wasn't necessarily something as prescribed in Scripture. You know, Adam and Eve, were not really told that they were concerned with keeping up with the years and the days and the seasons. So adding to that, we use, of course, most of us all know, you know, the BC and AD system for tracking the years. So AD, referring to Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord. So I feel kind of silly having to tell everybody this, but I thought AD had meant after death for a long time, which would have left a gap between BC and AD, and that didn't make sense. So learning this, doing this study, in the year of our Lord was essentially meaning the year that Jesus was born, which makes a lot more sense than what I'd previously understood. So the BC-AD system of dating and keeping up with how many years have gone by, of course, AD, you know, the Latin term in the year of our Lord, BC referring to before Christ. Well, this idea and this way of tracking these years originated in 525 AD by Christian monk Dionysius, who proposed counting years to keep track of our history from Jesus' birth. So our current way of keeping up with the years didn't even start and didn't even begin until 500 some odd years after Jesus had come and gone. So I want us all to keep that in mind as we move forward with this lesson. You know, so we live in 2024 AD, so we live about 2,024 years after Jesus was born. So there was not a year zero in this system and in this way to keep up with years. There wasn't a year zero. There, you know, we started at how many years BC, and it counted all the way down to 1 BC, and then the next year it was 1 AD. So, and again, one more time, this system was put in place well after all, you know, these are the Bible characters and Bible stories that we read and hear about were long gone. So to answer the question, how old is the earth according to Scripture? And that answer is approximately 6,000 years old. Not millions and not billions like the world wants us to believe and like evolutionists want us to believe, but about 6,000 years old. And this information, this number, comes from the genealogies that Scripture gives us and specific details on how old certain people were when their sons were born and when their sons were born and so on and so on. Essentially, we have a long list, a long genealogy of great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, if you will, and how old they were when all these different people were born. So that's where this information comes from. So to do a quick check on that, a guy by the name of James Usher in about the mid-1600s is kind of who really spearheaded this and studied this real hard and put all this together. So the earth essentially began in 4004 BC. Now again, that BC number in this 4004, you know, this was all put in place long after these things happened. So this chart, essentially developed by James Usher, it kind of details out these big major events, these significant events, and essentially when they happened in our current year tracking system, if you will. And what's important about this, there wasn't a lot of theory, I don't believe, that was put into establishing these years matching up with these major events. You know, there I'm sure there had to be maybe a few assumptions, you know, to fill a few gaps of one date or one set of time that Scripture gave us to the next. But you could correlate and throughout all Scripture, you know, stack out all these dates and all this time put together, and we're able to derive these dates and these significant things that happened with that same information. Unlike carbon dating theory and radiometric dating theory that all take assumptions and theories and what scientists and geologists suppose actually happened and when it happened. So we're not going to go through every single one of these dates correlating to these major events. We're just going to spot check one of them. So, you know, according to James Usher and the study and the work that he did, creation happened in 4004 BC. And then he tells us that the flood, the global flood that we're all familiar with, happened in 2348 BC. So 4004 BC minus 2348 BC tells us that 1,656 years went by worth of time went by from creation to the flood. So James Usher were able to derive that from, again, the genealogies given in Scripture. So in the very beginning, essentially year zero, God created everything. You know, Genesis chapter 1 tells us that. And then Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, tells us that Adam became the father of Seth when he was 130 years old. So essentially, from creation to the birth of Seth, 130 years, you know, had gone by. And then similar, Seth became the father of Enosh at 105. So 130 years plus 105 years, 235 years from the beginning to the birth of Enosh. And that goes on, you know, so on and so forth. Now Genesis tells us this. Genesis chapter 5 specifically gives us these hard dates, these hard years and these hard ages that these guys were, that we can essentially stack out and count out to, you know, to determine the age of the earth. So we get all the way down here to the bottom of this list. The flood started when Noah was 600 years old. So, and that's, you know, that's easy to verify, that's easy to prove, because in Genesis chapter 7, verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. Now, there may be a little leeway in that, you know, we don't know if he turned 600 the year that it happened or if he was already 600, but whatever that answer is, You know, it won't shift what we're talking about by very much at all. So, you know, when I'm having this conversation with someone on the other side of the argument, with someone who believes in evolution, you know, one thing they might say is, well, you're already wrong because no one lives to be 600 years old. And well, while that may be true in our current world, in our current time, that wasn't true, you know, that wasn't necessarily true back then. And the reason for that is because Scripture tells us that was so. You know, Noah wasn't the only one who lived to be hundreds and hundreds of years old. There are multiple characters in Scripture that we're told that lived that long. And while there's a number of reasons that could be that we're not going to get into, the main point is we need to have the faith and we need to believe that what Scripture tells us is true. Even though it sounds strange for our current time, nonetheless, that's what Scripture tells us is true, and we need to cling on to that. So now, going back through, you know, kind of our same path we've already taken here, we add up all the years that happened between God creating everything in year zero and the flood that happened when, as we know, Noah's 600 years old. And we add all that up, that gives us 1,656 years that Scripture tells us in Genesis that a time allotted between creation and the flood. So we look at James Usher's chart, and that lines up exactly with 1,656 years. So we're able to prove and we're able to see very quick and very easily that you know, just a quick spot check in these dates and these numbers, that's true. So, you know, James Usher spent many years putting this together, and we won't be able to put all that into one lesson, but that's essentially the thought process and the studying and the, you know, what he used to calculate that number. And to give a little better look at some more of the information they used, you know, primarily all out of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 11, even into Exodus, we're able to stack out all these genealogies and all these ages of all these guys, and, you know, we're able to establish how old the earth is. Now, I really like this chart because here on the left-hand side of the chart, we have the age of the earth starting from zero, you know, to present day. And over on the right-hand side is essentially how the age of the earth correlates to our BC year dating system. Again, that wasn't put in place until later. Now, remember, the BC AD system was created by man, and it was put in place by man long after the fact. And if you've heard more than two lessons given here, you'll know that man is pretty well susceptible to error and to making mistakes. So, you know, we just talked about BC being before Christ and AD being the year of our Lord. Well, you look at our chart, and it gives us the birth of Christ in 4 BC. And if you're like me, when I read that, I thought, that doesn't make any sense. Christ should have been born in year 1 AD, according to how this is put together. Luckily, I was able to find an answer to that. So, you know, the current calendar and the year counting system that was in place at the time Jesus was born is not what we use today. You know, it's been revised, it's been changed, it's been, you know, turned around and amended, if you will. But we're still able to find an answer to that. So, you know, at that time, we have Roman history. We had the Roman calendar. We had Roman documented events that were pretty well separate from our current events. And all that was in place during Jesus' birth. Okay, and then hundreds of years after that, we have a revision to that calendar. We have a revision to those years. And, you know, Dionysius, hundreds of years after Jesus was born, who put this together. And just to be plain about it, he got it wrong. He got it wrong by about 4 years. So many years after the AD and BC system was implemented, was it discovered that the creator of the system, basing his system from Jesus' birth, his calendar did not exactly align with the Roman calendar that was in place at the time of Jesus' birth. So as Dionysius put together, you know, all these events, you know, a lot of them correlated and needed to correlate and line up with the Roman calendar and the Roman events, and it was discovered that he was off. You know, it's the common belief he was off by about 4 years. So instead of changing the whole system and shifting everything 4 years to make it correct, we just commonly accept that Jesus was born in 4 BC. So, you know, 4 years off, that doesn't feel like a significant number to me that would, you know, throw out this whole argument and start it all over. So, you know, that details out, that I hope that explains how our current year tracking system correlates with the events that happened at the time and why Jesus was born in 4 BC and not 1 AD. And I hope that makes sense to everyone. So why is this important? Why does it even matter that we believe and we know how old the earth is? You know, we can't go back and change anything. We can't go, you know, knowing the exact year, the exact day, it doesn't change our day-to-day lives. You know, it doesn't affect how we come to worship. It shouldn't affect how we look forward. So again, why is this important? And the answer is easy, because this is just another realm and another facet that the world is constantly attacking the truth and constantly attacking the truth that's given from the Bible. And so, you know, topics like this, like many others, are meant to lead us away from Scripture and push us towards more worldly thinking. And, you know, if we let stuff like this go on long enough, uncorrected and unstudied, we might, you know, over a certain amount of time, over a certain amount of generations, we might tend to start to believe it and never question it. And we just, you know, we just go on with what the world tells us. And, you know, what else, what are some other things that have gone on long enough that a lot of people don't question anymore? You know, single hired preacher systems in a lot of churches, Sunday school in a lot of churches, you know, instruments in a lot of churches. A lot of these things have gone on so long, most people accept them and they don't question them, and they don't search Scripture for the answer. And this is a topic that, for me, up until just recently, I didn't necessarily believe the world was millions and billions of years old, but I also didn't have the answer on how it lined up with Scripture until I did this study. So I encourage you, and really any facet of what we do, to not just take anybody's word for it and just go along with it, but to study that out and try to find the answer from Scripture. Not from the internet, not from the world, but actually from Scripture. So the Bible history of the world is the real history of the world that we need to cling to, and we need to attach ourselves to. So that really goes into our next topic of, you know, creation versus evolution. That creation is what we just described, and creation is what we need to believe as Christians of how the world began and how old the world is. So biblical creation is based on the Bible, where God created the universe and everything in it as described in Genesis. And that's what gives us the 6,000 plus or minus years old. Now, I say plus or minus, there's a little bit of gray area, I guess, in that answer. But it's commonly believed and commonly accepted within our Christian society, if you will, that it's between 6,000 and 7,000 years. You know, like I said, there may have been a few gaps there. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly the number of years, but the answer is about 6,000 years. Now compare that to evolution. Biological evolution is the supposed process by which the first cell evolved into the diversity of life we see today, which gives us the answer of billions of years old, plus or minus 50 million years. Now, I didn't just put the plus or minus 50 million years in there. That's straight from, you know, the research I did and what evolutionists believe. So that's a rather large margin of error of, you know, what they believe of how old the earth is. And this is a very, you know, the evolution deal, it's a pretty dangerous topic for Christians because it's a pretty fierce, you know, the people that believe that believe it very earnestly. So evolution is a belief system based upon the assumption that there is a purely materialistic explanation for the origin of virtually everything that ever existed or ever will exist. The essential feature of this belief, often called materialism, is that everything in nature arose spontaneously by a process of self-transformation without the necessity of supernatural intervention. So, you know, this is the popular teaching. Again, having gone to public school and having watched National Geographic and having watched, you know, Planet Earth and those really neat nature videos and stories, you know, almost every single one of them tell us Earth is millions and billions of years old and dinosaurs died off millions of years before, you know, man even existed. And, you know, we just kind of hear it and then we watch the show. We have to be very cognizant and very aware that that's what the world is trying to push on us and trying to teach us. And, you know, this belief in evolution that, you know, it's whether it was they think it was a small cell or it was some photoplasm, whatever it was, my question to them would be, you know, well, where did that cell come from? And where did that very first piece of anything come from? You know, there's a clear answer for that. But there is a clear answer for us. And it comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And skipping down to verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over fish of the sea, over birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the things, all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So if we truly believe Scripture, and we truly believe what we read in the Bible, then we need to truly believe this. And we should believe it because we read it, because that's what it tells us. And we don't really, I don't know that there's a real reason that we need to understand how it actually physically happened. Now, it's hard for me to say from an engineering and a construction and a building background. I want to know how everything happened, and I want to know exactly how it came to be. But that's, you know, that's in this worldly realm, and that's in this worldly mindset. And in a scriptural mindset, we need to believe what we're told because that's what the Bible tells us. We don't need to believe, you know, something that some person and that some man has made up. And, you know, on another thought is God doesn't have to explain himself to us. Just like I don't have to explain myself to my kids that we're not going to stay up all night, you know, eating candy and watching TV. It's because I said so, because I'm the boss and that's what we're going to do. You know, I don't have to explain why we're going to do that. So God doesn't have to necessarily explain to us how exactly, you know, all these things happen. Now we're gonna continue this thought and process and continue to study, you know, with our public school system and what the world teaches us and what the world pushes on us about millions of years and specifically dinosaurs existing however many millions of years before humans dying off and so on and so forth. Well, that's not true and that's not accurate. So this picture depicts humans and dinosaurs exist essentially coexisting at the same time. And now, you know, if you were like me and grew up watching, you know, shows like The Land Before Time, you know, they say, oh, dinosaurs died off millions of years before. But if we believe that, then we can't believe that the Earth is only 6,000 or 7,000 years old, because the time frames don't fit and they don't match up. So for us to believe Scripture and for us to believe what we read, dinosaurs had to have existed at the time, you know, at the same time as humans. They had to have been created the same time that humans were created and the same time that all the other animals were created. So it's very important that we think about this and that we have this, because again, this was a thought for me that, you know, school history over here tells us the dinosaurs were all gone long before we were, but then the Bible history over here, it didn't really answer that question. But I'm going to answer that question this evening. So, you know, someone might say, well, Tanner, we don't ever read about dinosaurs in the Bible. We don't, you know, Bible doesn't tell us anything about them, but we know they were here. We see fossils and bones and, you know, all the stuff in museums and so on and so forth. But the reason we don't read about the specific word dinosaur is because the word dinosaur didn't even exist until 1841, when a guy named Richard Owen essentially coined this phrase by putting a few different Greek words together, meaning fearfully great lizards, when he was essentially, you know, going to describe some prehistoric animals that they were looking at or they were working on. So the reason we don't read dinosaur in Scripture, again, is because that's a word that we made up long after the fact. But what we do read is things like in Job chapter 7, you know, a sea serpent, or in Isaiah chapter 30, a fiery flying serpent, or in Psalms 104, a leviathan, and Job, back to Job chapter 40, a behemoth. You know, so it's, I believe, and it's commonly believed that these terms are referring to very large animals, you know, very possibly dinosaurs. You know, in a lot of your Bibles too, in the footnotes, you may see where they tell you that behemoth is referring to, a lot believe that it's referring to a hippopotamus. But if we read in verse 17, he moves his tail like a cedar. You know, I've presumed that to mean a cedar tree. And when I think of a hippopotamus and a hippopotamus's tail, I don't think a cedar tree really fits that. So it makes sense and it seems logical to me. And again, goes completely against everything I've grown up thinking about, that dinosaurs were in fact around at the same time as humans. You know, God created them at the same time as, you know, all the other animals. So, again, here's another interesting picture depicting dinosaurs being on the ark, being on Noah's ark. And again, in the same concept of believing that dinosaurs were here and they lived here in the same time frame that we just talked about, in the same, you know, 6,000-year time period of the earth, they had to have been on the ark. And it's logical to believe that they were on the ark. So while while obviously dinosaurs aren't here anymore, and I don't necessarily have the exact reason and answer why they're not, it's very logical and it's very much believable that dinosaurs aren't as old as we've been led to believe that they are, because they can't be in order to fit in with our the age of the earth and how old Scripture tells us the age of the earth is. So, continuing on with this timeline and with the conversation about evolution and creation, so on and so forth, we're all familiar with the story of the flood that killed every living thing on the earth except for whatever was on Noah's ark. And we know from Scripture that, you know, Noah and his three sons were on the ark. So, again, reading more in Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 and 19. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And again in Genesis chapter 10, verse 32, these were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. So we are all descendants of Noah, not of apes, not of monkeys, not of some type of fish creature that evolved out of the sea. We all came from Noah because after the flood, Noah and his family were the only people left. And so again, our school history over here telling us about evolution and millions of years and spontaneous out of nothing, and then that humans are, you know, we're so close to primates in our DNA that, you know, we evolved from them, that's not true. And it can't be true because, again, Scripture tells us that that's not the case. So what have we learned so far? We've learned and we've studied and we've looked at and we've proved the earth is about 6,000 years old. Again, not my opinion, but math and years and Scripture all put together. We've been able to derive from that the dinosaurs were created the same time as all the other animals, same time as Adam and Eve. You know, dinosaurs had to have been on the ark. We know that, without going into a whole nother lesson by itself, the flood killed all the people on the earth besides Noah and his family. Every single human descended from Noah. So again, you might be thinking, well, why is this important? You know, this doesn't change our belief. This doesn't change, you know, what we do in our day to day. It's just that these aren't common topics that everyone agrees on, and this isn't a common belief that the world wants us to believe. And evolution, again, tells us that none of this can be true because of all the ideas and theories and the things that they've come up with. So again, if you're like me, not realizing this, it didn't make me believe in Jesus any less. It didn't make me believe that Jesus was our Savior any less, not really knowing or realizing this information. So again, why is this important? And it's because all these truths come from the same book, and they come from the Bible that gives us the same fact that Jesus was real, Jesus was a man, Jesus lived on this earth, and Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we can't just take pieces of scripture that we like and ignore the rest, and we can't let the world continue to bombard us and tell us conflicting information with scripture. We have to believe all of it, and we have to take it as a whole. So while these may seem odd, or while these may be contrary, and kids, are not advocating for you to go to school and fail a test because of it, but we have to know and believe that this information and this truth came from the same Bible that tells us Jesus is who he was, and Jesus died so that our sins could be forgiven. So I'll leave you with this last scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have to take, like I just said, we have to take scripture as a whole. We have to take every part of it, even the parts that step on our toes, even the parts that seem real personal to us. We have to take it all together. And we can't allow the world to just distract us and to pull us away from the truth. So this evening, if you feel like you've been pulled away from the truth, or you feel like you have been struggling with really anything else, or need any help from the church, or if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, please come forward while we stand and sing the invitation song.